Friday, March 24, 2023. My name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe the gospel. Go to heaven. Don't be a moron and a sinner and go to hell. Sinners go to heaven because Jesus washes away their sins because you believe the gospel. Amen. I want to talk about Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. We're going to unpack that today as we talk about justice for tyrants. Justice for tyrants. I've commented over the past couple of years of this live stream from time to time whenever I get that urge and just think about how evil the world is, how much sin is there, how much evil leaders and political leaders, celebrities or whoever, powerful people and corporations, whenever they are using their positions of power against people unjustly, or what I would consider unjustly or oppressive. There is destabilization in Europe going on right now, most notably in France. Enchanté, bon chéri, drink the wine, I smell the cheese. There's also that in Amsterdam. We're going to be playing a clip where Amsterdam farmers, in response to the Agenda 2030 usurpation and confiscation of private property and fertile farms by the government, these farmers have lined up against the police and are spraying them with poop and fertilizer. There's also, in my position, the destruction of a country. Great Britain is a country under destruction because they have just opened up the flood doors to illegal immigration, and that country is changing. London is no longer a British city. It is now a Middle Eastern city. It's the knife-wielding capital of the world under the mayorship of Sadiq Khan, the Muslim mayor of London. We're going to be talking about the bank failures, the bank crisis, and where I see that going into play. And really what I want to just do is try to tie in this overall umbrella of the chaos and the headlines and all those kind of things. And I just want to ground you in the scriptures. I just want to tie you back to Christ. I want people to get back to Jesus. And as, or in that, that's what I want to point people to, is the gospel. Real fast, I want to point out the fact that we do have a Live Local conference. It's going to be here in Claremore. You can have a registration. It's links in the description below. We're going to be talking about common law. We're going to be talking about targeted activism, patriotic lawfare, and building generational wealth. Really, in short, your government here in America is so oppressive and tyrannical. It's so arbitrary and unconstitutional. What we're going to be doing at that two-day event, it's all day Friday, all day Thursday, so make sure that you come Thursday evening. Come Thursday evening, all day Friday, all day Saturday, we're going to be talking about walking through the stuff that's on the board, how to engage the government, how to do all sorts of different things. So for the low, low price of, what, $20 or $30, depending on if you're a couple or an individual, and that's just to pay the cost of the facility. Jaron, am pocketing zero money for this event. But make sure you come out to that. That's a Live Local conference. The link's in the description below. If you want to be a member and support me for the work that I do here, it's livelocal.store, livelocal.store. God bless you. Justice for tyrants. Proverbs, I read from you. Proverbs 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. It's got this juxtaposition of the wicked and the righteous. The wicked and the righteous, or I should say the upright. The wicked have a house. The upright have a tent. The subtext here is that if God's wisdom is going to be moving you, you need to move where God goes. See, the wicked, first and foremost, are going to build a house and think that that's where they have their power, think that that's where everything is. They think that that is where their permanence is. So it's the pride to say that their conditions are so permanent that they will be fixtures. And if they have the pride to think that they are fixtures, they're going to start elevating and aggregating power for themselves. In America, I'll just talk about America. We'll talk about other countries in Europe here real fast. But in my country, we've got a corporatist system that has hijacked a constitutional republic, has perverted the media, has perverted politicians, has warped the school systems, and is now invading through the eyes and the ears for the key terrain of the mind, for the prize of the soul, many and millions of Americans. I hate this. I think it's evil. And I think it's dastardly. Whenever you see it from that position, you can kind of understand, wow, the gospel really is the solution to all of this. But people don't think like this because, as part of the corporatist strategy, the way of the world is to make the gospel seem stupid and churchy and dumb and obsolete, something stuffy and old and suffocating, something where you can't have wisdom and you can't have life, you can't have the goodness of things. Right? It's to make it a holier-than-thou thing, and that's just not the case. I believe that God's wisdom is brilliant. I believe that his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and I believe that if you listen to him, if you follow him, you'll be able to slice and dice this stuff up, which is what I intend to do by his grace today. Whenever I talk about justice for tyrants, I remember whenever I was deployed. I deployed twice to Afghanistan. I was an infantry officer. I commanded soldiers in combat. I remember what it was like to get shot at. I remember what it's like to kill people. I remember what it's like to get blown up. I remember combat. I was there. I remember it. And I remember being there 24 into my 25th year the first time. 29 into my 30th year the second time. 29 years old into 30 years old the second time. I remember wielding power. And I remember there were specific instances. You know, a couple days after Andrew Hutchins was killed, I wear these KIA bracelets on my wrist. Two of them are my buddies, and one of them is a soldier of mine. But the soldier of mine that was killed, November 8, 2010, I remember patrolling after he was killed. Now, this young man had a wife. This young man was 20 years old. His wife was 6 months at the time pregnant with their first and their only child. And that child never got to see her dad. And I remember, because my wife was pregnant with our first, and I remember whenever he was killed, we went on a patrol a couple days later, and I was just looking to kill people. I was just looking to kill people. So the personal stuff in my life, the professional stuff in my life, transposed or went into where I had power and where I had authority. And my own interpretation of reality came across in the conduct of my job. It came across in the conduct and the use of the power that I had. Now, I had power there in Afghanistan because I had guns and I had dudes that were going to obey my commands. I had power because I had the competence and the opportunity to use that power, those people, those bombs, those bullets to go against people. I also had power because I had the ability to manipulate and influence and wield that power the way that I chose to. And I knew that if I keyed the mic and said that I was in fear for my life or someone was attacking me, I knew I could go places and get shot at, knowing I could pick a fight and then use that force to kill people there. I know that I could do that. Without going down too much of that rabbit hole, I understand how because everyone is a sinner, whenever you have positions of power and authority, people will use that for themselves. That's the temptation. The wisdom of our founding fathers is to give us a constitutional republic where that is limited. So you have to understand common law. You need to understand God's wisdom applied in government, which is limiting government and not limiting man. Man will be limited by nothing more than their imagination, by nothing more than their own sinful nature. And so if the purpose of government is to defend rights and restore rights, and you limit government to that end, you can really see the wisdom of God working. But back to our proverb, if the house of the wicked is going to be overthrown and the tent of the upright will flourish, there's this element of permanence. And if you've got power and you think that power is yours and you can use it for yourself, you will start to build your empire. You will start to build systems and methods and means of aggregating, retaining, and consolidating power. So that's all. Those are all types of things that I always kind of can consider. What I want to do here is I want to play this first video. This is just from Paris. Paris is in riots. Paris as a city has a history of riots. It's got a history that is secular, and this secular history does not bode itself well, does not lend itself well to domestic tranquility. Here is the video, commentary follows. Yeah, Yeah, so they're heaping up trash, they're burning things, there's people up against police officers, there's some examples of police officers joining the French people. I've even heard folks say that some of them are UN soldiers or World Economic Forum soldiers that are doing stuff, but the issue comes down to President Emmanuel Macron, who is changing certain pensions and he's changing retirement age. First of all, step back. I don't believe the Bible teaches that you have the right to retirement. I don't think that. I think that you are supposed to run your race. I think that you're supposed to labor in the Lord until God calls you home. And even if that means that you are a quadriplegic and you can't do jack, your laboring, your working is to rely on the blessings and the fortune and the gifts of other people. God working through other people to bless you. Sometimes it is your labor to receive. Sometimes it is your labor to give and to work and to produce. But just because you may be a quadriplegic vegetable who's never said a word in your life doesn't mean that God doesn't get glory in that. But we don't think like that. What we think is, I'm entitled to this thing because you've taken money from me for decades. So let's first explore, God doesn't give you the right to retirement. But now let's explore this tyrannical notion of retirement. The tyrannical notion of retirement was sold to the people on a lie that at some point in your life, you can stop working and you'll be provided for. I'm sorry. I don't want the government to provide for me. I don't want the government to be in the position of pater or father or provider. The government is my slave. The government is a dog. I want it obedient and only to bark whenever I say speak. I want it to heal and not run around, poop all over my house and tear up my shoes. But we have the wrong thinking of government because we have a very worldly way of government. Now think about this. If tyrants have built their house, Proverbs 14:11, if tyrants have built their house and that house is going to come to destruction, what would that house look like? What would that house necessarily mean? It would be built on the pride and the power of the people in charge. And the pride of the power of the people in charge, I believe, over this last century, I think it's fairly obvious, the last couple of years is like incredibly obvious that one of the ways that tyrants wield power is to distract, to divide, to deceive. And by doing that, to get you pissed off, to get people mad about skin colors or gender issues or anything else, to do that, to divide people, it keeps people from recognizing the fact that, well, why do you have a right to retirement anyway? Now, I hear the people already saying, well, Jaron, I've paid into this system for 50 years and you're just a young guy, so you don't even know. Amen. I absolutely hear you, and I hate the fact that the government has stolen your property for decades. This is where common law comes in. This is where common law comes in, because the common law would say that you have never actually entered a contract into these people. You've never done that. It's been taken from you. This is where I'm working with the IRS. I'm not working with them. I'm engaging the IRS. And the notion with the IRS is privacy. What right does government have to get my private information? They don't have a right to know how much money I make, how much money my investments are, where I paid for this, what I paid for that, or whatever. They don't have that right. They've got the power. Of course, the 16th Amendment gives the power to direct tax, but the 16th Amendment doesn't allow them to violate the 4th Amendment. And so because if I'm securing my persons, papers, houses, and effects, the government doesn't have the ability to compel what is a private information for their public use. They can't do that. Whenever they do that, it is unlawful and constitutional. That's what I'm working on, more information forthcoming in Live Local Field Manual 2.0 for the Live Local Conference in June, links to the description below. But also, whenever I get battlefield effects, that's what I mean by battlefield effects. When I get battlefield effects, I'll give it to people for free. I'll tell everybody. Because whenever I run through the obstacles and I go through the gauntlet, I believe that what I'm telling people, the common law, I believe that it's true. And because it's true and it's the law of the land, they're not going to be able to stop me. And whenever I get through the gauntlet, I'm going to turn around and tell people, here's the bread trail. Here's the way that I went, and you can have it. Why? Because I want my country. I want people to be provided for. But secular France doesn't have this. Europe doesn't have this. We have this because we have a common law system. We have this because we have a constitutional republic. We have this because our founders were Christians and believed the Bible, because they apply God's wisdom to government. See, God's wisdom in Proverbs 14:11 says that the house of the wicked will be overthrown. The tyrants will be overthrown because they have been made permanent in their positions of power. Your position of power is not permanent. It's by God's grace whether you live or go or make a profit or do business. James chapter 4. But see, the tyrants at the very beginning, the wicked at their very beginning, they don't see God. They don't see God in things. These tyrants that are in charge of governments, these tyrants that are in charge of America, these corporations, whatever, they hate Jesus. They deny the gospel. And because they do that, they create worldly systems for themselves. By God's grace, our founders gave us independence and then tied the entire construct of government to common law. And the common law cuts through that because it's based on the Bible. So when people are talking about God's wisdom, well, first of all, people don't talk about God's wisdom to government. They see tyrants and they get pissed. They see what's going on and they get furious. And this is what's going on in Paris. People are frustrated in Paris, and they should be, because the tyrant is arbitrary. The tyrant is evil. Macron is doing what he should not be doing. In fact, here is a video of Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, who has a designer watch. And for those of you guys on the podcast, I appreciate it. But, you know, this guy starts out, he's doing an interview. And then like 10 seconds into the interview, he recognizes, holy crap, I'm talking about pensions. I'm talking about austerity. I'm talking about taking away from the people. I might as well put my hands underneath the table and take my designer watch off. Watch. It's in French, so I don't know what he says because I ain't France. But commentary follows. So it's just showing the juxtaposition. He's got the watch on, and then he's got the watch.
Il y a les blocages, et les blocages, il faut pouvoir les lever quand ils empêchent l'activité normale. Et c'est pourquoi, d'ailleurs, j'ai demandé. C'est pourquoi j'ai demandé au gouvernement d'essayer au maximum de négocier et ensuite de réquisitionner. Ce que nous avons pu faire sur les ordures ménagères, par exemple, dans certaines grandes villes.
So for those of you all who didn't watch, he had his watch on, and I don't know about watches, I don't wear watches, but he had a designer watch on, allegedly. He puts his hands underneath the table while he's talking, he takes it off and then like puts it underneath his leg. I mean, the dude is deceptive, but he's doing it because he understands the optics. He understands that while he has the plush designer watch, he's taking away people's pensions and he's taking away all sorts of other stuff for other people. Now, again, I don't think that you have the right to retirement. I hate the fact that the commercialized corporatist government has foisted upon you these trust schemes where they steal your money over decades and you've been paying into it for decades. And they've also raided that piggy bank, so all of that money is gone, which puts the generations against each other. So you've got older generations that are now expecting their money to be given back to them against the younger generations that recognize it's an entire Ponzi scheme and the whole thing's bankrupt and we don't want to do these things. So now they pit the generations against each other. Macron is over here going, well, I better take my watch off. And the whole thing, the whole subtext here, I don't want to send off the wrong message. I don't want people to see this. Dude, your city's burning, bro. The city's burning. They got trash and poop and police barricades and fires everywhere. Paris is on fire. And you're worried about a watch. What does that suggest to you about the headspace of Macron? Do you think that he is in any way feeling as though he's threatened by these people? And this gets me to the point whenever we talk about justice for tyrants. A tyrant is somebody that is arbitrary. A tyrant is someone who rules by their whim. And by ruling by your whim, you don't respect the other people that you're over. You don't respect the governance over. I could talk about 1 Samuel chapter 8 whenever God makes the greatest argument against, greatest argument for limited government in history. 1 Samuel chapter 8. But the point that I'm trying to make is when we see injustice, we want justice. And I put up there as the graphic, I put up there an effigy, which is being burnt in Paris. They're burning an effigy of people in Paris. They've made like a little gallows, they've hung it, and they've set him on fire. So here is a straw man hanging by a rope from a wooden beam with a fire underneath. And this is what's going on in Paris right now. What does this suggest to you? What does this suggest to everybody else about the mindset of the Parisians? They want death. They want blood. They want fire. They want people to be held accountable. Now, this is where I want to come alongside them and say, I hate tyrants. I hate evil. I want to punish evil, but I want to do it justly. I want to do it the right way. And for those people that are like, well, Jared, you just don't understand. We need to rise up and do stuff. Listen, folks, I've actually killed people. I've killed people. So whenever y'all say, well, you just don't understand, Jared, which one of you has pulled the trigger? Which one of you has seen another image bearer of God and said, you know what? I'm going to kill this dude and then did it. Okay? So I'm not coming to you. I'm not talking to you as someone who says, there. Don't worry about it. Just calm down. I'm coming to you as a guy who in the heat of battle and in the passion of the situation deliberately chose to use lethal force to kill people because I wanted to and I needed to. Injustice, evil, bad things. I used force to kill people. I was a soldier. It's what we did. So you can see whenever there's a justified situation to use force against people, but you do it the right way. You don't just do it willy-nilly. And this is my commentary, is that people are seeing very openly the need for justice against tyrants. They see it. But if they go about it the wrong way, then they're just, I would argue, they're just as evil. Also, they're setting themselves up for failure. Because if you take America's revolution and France and the French Revolution in 1792, the American Revolution was first. The American Revolution had its Declaration of Independence, where God was an active participant, called him the creator, called him the judge, called him divine providence, right? Spoke about these things, the ruler of the universe. The French Declaration of the Rights of Man, God he's an observer. He's on the sideline. He's not actually participating. So the Declaration of Rights of Man says that God's watching us. The Declaration of Independence says God's doing stuff, right? So it's a completely different mindset, which is where in 1789, the French Revolution, you get the right and the left. That's why I hate the right and the left. It comes from a secular understanding of politics. So if you hear people in America use right and left, they're borrowing from the French Revolution, a secular revolution. They're borrowing from a power epistemology instead of a godly epistemology. Instead of scripture, they're borrowing French Revolution. I don't want the French Revolution. I might want heads to roll. I might want tyrants to be killed. I might want Nuremberg 2.0 times a million, whatever. I may want those things, but I want them done the right way. And if you don't stress that, if you don't speak to the morality of justice, if you don't speak to the necessity of using the scripture for justice, well, then you're just out there willy-nilly killing people. And there's some of us that are way better at it than others. And if you try to do it, you might get clapped because someone else might be strapped. You might think that you need to take it into your own hands to go use force and violence and to arrest people or to do something. You might think that that's what you need to do. And if you do that, you may wind up going against people that have prepared for such an event. They may believe, because they're tyrants or they're evil, or they just may be, you know, common sense in this regard, that they know if they're powerful, if they're famous, if they've got the prestige and the ability to use power and force, they may know someone may be coming after me. I'm going to check my six. I'm going to make sure I got a gun right by the door. I'm going to be making sure there is a loaded M4 rifle right by the door that can engage targets at 400 meters effectively, right? Like, they may know that. And so they may prepare for it. So you don't come up on them because, you know, they're ready to rock. There's other things too. This is one thing that I don't like. This is Nelson's column in Nelson Square in London. This is, it says Eid Mubarak. Eid Mubarak is a Muslim religion. It's about Ramadan. Ramadan's evil because Islam's evil. But yet you've got the culture of Britain has changed so much with the mass migration that London's no longer London. Well, how would you get justice there? Who do you go to after having let all these people in that's completely changed the culture of Britain? Completely changed the culture of London. How do you get justice there? This is where I would advocate for live local. This is where I would advocate for preaching the gospel. I would advocate, because Britain's still a common law nation, it is. I would advocate for common law actions. I would advocate for those things. I would not just go up to Muslims and start doing violence. I would not try to, you know, destroy their stuff, because I wouldn't want that done to me. And because I believe that the gospel will convert and to change people. So I don't like the fact that there's a bunch of Muslims in London because of mass migration, but those bunches of Muslims, that's a perfect mission field. That's a perfect mission field for the gospel. And God can work through that. That might not be the politically right thing to say, but whenever you're in that position, unless you can get the government to mass deport, which I would be in favor of that, unless you can get the government to mass deport, you better be mass evangelizing. Amen. And if you can get your government to mass deport, mass evangelizes, you put them on the boats and get them out of your country. This next thing I want to point out is Amsterdam. This is Amsterdam. I commented earlier. Commentary follows. Yeah, it goes on. It's just a bunch of tractor. It's a tractor spewing a bunch of fertilizer and stuff on the cops, and they stand there. The tensions in Amsterdam are high because the globalist corporatists who run Amsterdam government, the Dutch government, are going to try to seize fertile farms for the 2030 agenda, the Agenda 2030. They want their megalopolies to own everything, and they want to diminish the people's ability to feed themselves, and so the food supply is critical. Which is why, whenever we talk about the Live Local Field Manual, and you can get this at livelocal.store, the Live Local Field Manual speaks to this type of stuff. Localizing your food supply, getting to know the people to your right and to your left, evangelizing the folks that are there, developing and recruiting a team. Literally tells you how to find people who think like you, how to recruit them, how to organize them, how to train them, and after that training, you can even escalate to the unorganized militia in section three. The Live Local Field Manual at livelocal.store is a great resource for the basics on how to organize locally. Anybody can do it. It doesn't cost money. It's a very easy way. It just changes the mindset to optimize in chaotic conditions where decentralized nodes of power are most effective. We don't want the consolidated mode of power in a globalized government. We want it to be decentralized. We want it to be diffused. We want it to be distributed amongst the people, which is what America did, because America's founders loved Jesus and they recognized that, you know, power will tend to consolidate itself. Another story that's coming out today is this Deutsche Bank. The Deutsche Bank is, it's lost 10% of its shares, 10% of its net worth or whatnot this morning. And so there is the story of a mass bank failure. I want to speak to this real fast, and I have before. I believe that this is by design. How many bank busts have we had? I believe, and I've said this before, that the petrodollar is on its final legs. And I believe that the central banking system, the Federal Reserve System, is trying to usher its entity or client states, its client countries, onto a digital currency. It's going to try to kill every other cryptocurrency, and it's going to try to get the people that are on the petrodollar now into the central bank digital currency. It will be like fiat times a million, because instead of actually having paper currency, they'll just have digits on a screen. In contrast, in competition, you're going to have Russia and China that are trying to do its own thing. Everything is in flux. Everything is in flux because trust has been so thoroughly eliminated. And now people are trying to drill down to what the foundational truth of things is, which of course is Jesus Christ, which is, like I just said in the Live Local Field Manual, if you organize and optimize your activities for your local people, you're going to be able to withstand any of this stuff. And whenever we get Live Local Field Manual 2, which is going to be called Common Lawfare, when we get Common Lawfare to come into play, we're going to use the law of the land and direct action, blending elements of contracting, blending elements of arbitration and other things. We're going to be blending all sorts of elements into lawfare actions against government entities, government actors, and anybody else that's violating our rights. But it demands a perspective that says Christ is king, the Bible is true, and we can apply God's wisdom. If you don't have a mind for Jesus, if you don't care about the Constitution, those things aren't the same, but you don't get the Constitution unless you get Jesus, right? With Jesus, you get people who believe him, and when people who believe him apply his wisdom, they get stuff like the Constitution. When you recognize these things, you can then start to put them into action, which is what I intend to advocate for. The last part before we roll the rock is this. There was a tweet conversation. Kanakoa is a online dude. He does good work. He says, he tweets out, Senator Malcolm Roberts, who's from Australia, says that Australia should not cede its sovereignty to the WHO due to the organization's corruption that generates billions for its owners, Bill Gates, and because Tedros, which is the secretary of the WHO, is an evil, quote, killer tied to a terrorist organization, to which Elon Musk responds, countries should not cede authority to the WHO, the World Health Organization, to which Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, but not American, says or tweets out, countries aren't ceding sovereignty to the WHO. The hashtag pandemic accord won't change that. The accord will help countries better guard against pandemics. It will help us better protect people regardless of whether they live in countries that are rich or poor. Now, obviously the subtext here is that this is Marxist language. This is have-have-nots, rich and poor, classism, economic distinction, economic determinism. And he's talking about the pandemic accord is the thing that countries have to guard people. Excuse me. In America, now he ain't an American. I don't know. I don't think he's a Christian. I think he's a godless commie. This guy doesn't have a notion of government that Americans have for government. Our government is only existing to defend the rights that God gives us. God does not give us the right to be safe. So government, therefore, should never be talking about safety. If you're going to be talking about me getting sick and not dying, God definitely tells you that you're going to die. Hebrews 9, it's appointed once a man to die and then comes the judgment. So the WHO, the World Health Organization, the NIH, the CDC, the whoever else, it's all predicated on the health and public health. These are all entities. These are all notions whose subtext is anti-God, because God doesn't promise you that you're going to have good health and you're not going to die. He tells you that you're going to die. And if you have good health, then that's because he's given it to you. If you don't have good health, it's because that's a burden you get to carry. Amen. Again, I go back to my dad just suffered and died from stage 4 cancer. You can't show me many people that died a worse death than my father. Not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that just despite your bad health that God isn't good. Okay? So we got a lot of tyrants, but approaching the justice and wanting the justice, the way we do that matters. Real fast, I want to remind you that if you want a gospel gown, which I don't have it prepped, it's right here. This gospel gown right here, my dad died of stage 4 cancer. I should say, he went home. Christ took him home on February 1. Dad died of cancer, and his idea was to put the death, the burial, the resurrection, It's my logo. It's my meme. It's Christianity in a meme. Dad had an idea to put that on hospital gowns. That way, when sick people went into the hospital, they could be a billboard for Jesus. If you send me an email at gospelgown@livelocal.store, gospelgown@livelocal.store, I will send you this for free, no charge. No charge at all. This is what we do, and we get that with the portions of profits from livelocal.store. So anybody who spends any money on anything at livelocal.store is supporting that outreach, and that is what we want, because we want spiritual warfare. We want the gospel to go out, because the gospel will go out. Amen. Now, if I could shift a little bit, I want to talk about DeSantis. I want to try to give him a fair shake. He did an interview with Piers Morgan, who's a godless commie, Harpy Schill, going for ratings and whatnot. But what's his face? Piers Morgan got to sit down with DeSantis. And so I just want to go through a couple of DeSantis clips, and we're just going to listen to what he has to say and lay things out. I say this as a guy whose bias is for Trump, who won't support DeSantis in 2024, because I am decidedly in the Trump camp. So I will provide biased analysis on these DeSantis clips. Commentary follows.
I'm running against Biden. Like, we're competing for the Republican, potentially, I get that. But ultimately, you know, the guy I'm gonna focus on is Biden, because I think he's failed the country. I think the country wants a change. I think they want a fresh start and a new direction. And so we'll be very vocal about that. I spent a lot of time in Florida fighting back.
You beat Biden?
I think so.
So you're running me?
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could. I mean, I think if you look at Florida.
Who would be harder to beat, Biden or Donald Trump?
I don't know. Those are two different electorates.
If you do decide to run, we can pretend around the horses here. But if you do decide to run in the next few months, obviously it will then be you v. Donald Trump for the Republican nomination. People have been quite kind of scathing. They've said you're house-trained Donald, your Diet Coke to his full Coke, right? You've heard all this stuff. What are the differences between you?
Now, I don't know how long it took you to watch politics before you just kind of figured out that it's all just a contrived entertainment, stupid thing. A couple different things that I hate about this. The subtext of it's a personality thing. It's not a personality thing. Your Diet Coke to real Coke, your trained Trump or whatever it is. These are... If they are actually things that people have said, that they are anonymously sourced comments predicated on a Trump versus DeSantis dynamic. And by giving that to DeSantis, you're poking his pride. You're trying to invoke his pride so that instead of looking at the anonymously sourced comments and defeating their folly, he will, in his pride, respond against Trump. Okay, so that's that. There's just the technique that you're going to try to get people to go. The second thing is, what about the elections? How does DeSantis think that he can beat Biden if there's still machines? There's still algorithms. There's still mules that smuggle things in. How does DeSantis think that he could beat Biden? How does Trump think that he can beat Biden? If you're not honest about what happened in 2020, how are you even, what kind of integrity do you have going into 2024? If you're not even going to talk about what happened in 2020 and you're going to be like, it's perfectly fine. Everything that happened was perfectly cool. If you won't even think about that, do you really even have the mind to do this? Now, see, either A, DeSantis thinks that 2020 was fine and so he's moved on, at which point I disagree with him, and that's one substantive issue I disagree with him on. Or two, he doesn't think 2020 was fine. There was something there, but he's just going to be like, you know what, let's just move past that. At which point, now he's just burying old news, which is substantial, and a constitutional fissure, I would say, means that your elections aren't efficacious, and he just wants to move on. So now you're going to distract the people from what's a really big thing. Because even if, and I don't think that Biden would beat DeSantis, but even if Biden did beat DeSantis, if the elections were efficacious, I'm an American, I say, okay, rule of law. I mean, like, that's the case. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think that any court saw the evidence because of jurisdiction. People were trying to come as entities and corporations instead of petitioners. They weren't suing as people in the Constitution. They were suing as the campaign of Donald Trump or the campaign of Carrie Lake or the campaign of whatever. It's not until they come as a petitioner exercising the rights do the courts grant them jurisdiction. Hello, Arizona. Right? It's not until people actually come as one of the people and exercise the Constitution do you get the nation's first forensic audit. Hello, Arizona. Thank you, David Jose. Right? It's not until you do those things that you get those things. So if we're not even going to think about the election, we're not going to talk about the machines, I don't even want to hear this, you know, I think I could beat him. I think I could beat him. Because now what you've just done, and I don't know if DeSantis does this on purpose or not, because every politician does it, but what you've just now done is you've summarized everything down to my candidacy. If you elect me, the proposition goes, the unspoken proposition, if you elect me, things will be better. If you elect me, things will be better. This is Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite. If you elect me as student council president, all your dreams will come true. And then he wins. So it's this idea that if you are electing somebody for president, like, that's the chief political issue. Folks, the president swears an oath to the Constitution. The Constitution is for your rights. Ipso facto, the president works for you. Now, we might not know how to put that into action, and I concede that outright. But that doesn't mean that we, the people, aren't more powerful than the president. And that's not just a cliche. Now that I know what I know about common law, now that I know what I know about common lawfare, and I intend to tell people about it, I don't really ever want to be an elected office. Are you kidding me? As soon as you swear an oath to the Constitution, if the people say you're violating the Constitution, they got you. They got you. And there's ways to make these people bend. There's ways to make them obey. We just haven't been taught that. Why haven't we been taught that? Law schools, bar association. I mean, could you imagine a country of common law where the people knew their rights and how to assert that via written petitions or affidavits? Game over, because the corporatist system that relies on tacit acquiescence, implied consent, and contractual obligations, performance objectives for its statutes and for its administrative state, if you, by common law, say, I'm not in contract with you, show me the contract I'm in with you, and they're like, well, we can't do that, we're not done, you're out, show me the contract. There is no contract. Okay, good. So if DeSantis is trying to boil everything down to himself, and this is what Trump does too, I'm not going to say he doesn't do it too, but the subtext is, if you vote for me, all your problems are solved. I'm not there. I want my president to be talking about the Constitution, to be talking about my rights, to be talking about the common law, to be talking about Jesus Christ, to be talking about how the nation needs Jesus Christ, not God. Not God, so that Jews can glom on, or Muslims can glom on, or Hindus can glom on. None of this vague, ambiguous God. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian nationalist. Jesus Christ. America is a Christian nation. We are not a Judeo-Christian nation. The Jews never evangelized. Christians evangelize. We want the good news for all people. We don't just want it for ourselves. We are a Christian nation. People need to talk about Jesus, not Jesus. You can't steal his fruit. You have to recognize who he is. Okay, let's do this next one. Commentary follows.
I haven't made a final decision on it. I've told people I've got a lot that I've got to do over the next few months in Florida. We're going to put a lot of points on the board, and then we'll see how the dust settles after that. But I can tell you, we just have a lot of people that realize the country's not going in the right direction and believe that what we've been able to do in Florida, if we could apply that nationally, would kind of get America back on track and back on our foundations. And so I take that very seriously. It's humbling that people have come to me and asked me to do it or urge me to do it. So stay tuned.
That sounds like almost a yes.
It's a stay tuned.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Well,
yeah, it's just so he has done a great job in Florida. I think he's the best governor in the country. I think he's done a great job in Florida. President Trump hit at him and said, you know, you've got beaches and sunshine. It's hard to mess that up. Okay, that makes sense, too. It's obviously I would rather go to Florida than, like, I don't know. I'd rather go to Alaska than Florida. But people are attracted there. Bunch of retirees are attracted there. Low taxes, good weather. It makes sense. So there's some natural built-in advantages he has. But at the same time, DeSantis has done a good job compared to all the other governors. Now, is that a commentary and a criticism against all the other governors as much as it is a praise to DeSantis? It's what we got, right? So you take him against all the others, he's certainly the best in my opinion from that regard, especially during the COVID lockdowns and whatnot. But the guy still was pushing the jab. The guy did, he did push the jab. He supported it, mandates and everything. But so did so many of these other governors. So many people screwed up on such a big, substantive, foundational, constitutional level. Like, we have been through, I believe, one of the world's greatest psyops. We have been through just dereliction of duty at an institutional level, like throughout the institution of government. Basically, anybody who ever swore the oath, who ever wore the uniform, and was ever in any position of stewarding the people's liberty, failed. Most of them, by and large, failed. So to say he was the best governor is true, but it's also like everybody else sucked. But then that's my bias of Trump coming into DeSantis. Him saying that he's wanting to put some points on the board. I believe, and this is just me, I believe that a consultant told him that. I believe that that is a poll-tested phrase. Because now you're looking at politics as though it's a competition. Now you're looking at politics as though you are your team. That's a tribalizing comment. If you're on DeSantis' team, you're going to put points on the board. And the subtext is you want to win. So you're going for a victory. Again, gets back to I, DeSantis, vote for me and you win. That's the thing. Well, who is that popularized by? That was popularized by Trump. You're never going to get used to winning. You're going to win so much, you're going to be like, oh, I'm tired of winning, but we're just going to keep winning. That's a Trump thing. Trump introduced victory into politics. It was no longer our values. It was, we're going to win. We're going to win. And that competition, that drive, that competitiveness is good. I like it. It's good. I think men need to fight. I think we need to go to war. I think we need to compete. So that's a very good masculine American thing to do. Amen. He just got it from Trump. But I think he got it from a consultant. Again, it's just me. I can't prove it. And at the very end, the stay tuned. Well, dude, we know that you're going to do it. We also know that in Florida, if you say that you're going to run for president, then you can't be governor. So you can't put points on the board if you tell people you're running for office. You also, once you're running for office, have to file FEC reports. You have to comply with legal things. So as long as you're not running for office, you can do all sorts of stuff. As soon as you are, now you're locked in under scrutiny. So you saying stay tuned is not only a media tease, but it's also to free yourself up for maneuverability so you can get things into place. That way, whenever you put points on the board, you can point to legislation you just passed. Elect me because I just passed legislation. And because people will think, well, he just passed the legislation, I'm going to support. This is you know, kind of like a how the sausage is made approach that the consultants are doing. And it's obvious. It's obvious that he's going to run for president. It's obvious. But okay, last one, and then we'll move on.
They get mad. I don't do the cocktail parties. I don't like rubbing elbows with other people. I like doing my job and then spending time with my family. That's just what I do. A lot of the people that are criticizing, you know, they would say, oh, he doesn't do well with donors. He doesn't glad hand with them. And yet I raise more money than any non-presidential candidate in the history of America. Are you kidding me? So we tend to do, we do well, but I do think that, you know, I deal better with regular people than I do with some of the people in the political class. And I think that has been true for the entire time I've been around.
Your book.
Now, a couple different things. He's from the Navy, so of course he's not going to get along with people, all right? It's like the Navy is about the boat. The Navy is not about the person. The Army is about the individual soldier. The Navy's about the boat. The Air Force is about the plane. And the Marines are, you know, Marines are good. Amen. that's an inner service knock. I think all of this is a contrived red herring. It's a contrived red herring because to say, you know, I get along with the people is a populist message. America is in a populist swing because we're controlled by corporate oligarchs. Like, we understand the tyrants at the top need to be have the power diffused. We are so far away from our constitutional republic that the people just know, I want a normal person. I don't want one of them polished people. Until, of course, the media comes and hits people and calls them anti-Semites, and then they get ripped apart because everyone thinks that they're a horrible racist and they hate Jews. But that's another thing. So DeSantis saying that he is one of the people is an overture to the populist undertones that the average American right now wants. The average American doesn't want the expertise. They want a normal dude that isn't going to be bought off or polished. And one of the telltale signs is that you don't talk like the rest of them. And so here, DeSantis, it seems, through his consultants, has opted to say, I'm a regular person. I'm a normal person. I don't like rubbing elbows with them fancy dinners. Dude, if you have to tell people that you don't like to rub elbows at fancy dinners, then it means that you actually don't. It means you are. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. If you have to tell people you are a normal person, then you aren't a normal person. If you aren't a normal person, then you will tell people you are a normal person. Hello, friends. Everyone is good, right? Us commoners, we are sure good against those tyrants. We are good. Now, I don't fault him for wanting to hang out with his friends. I would buck the system. I wouldn't go to their stupid speaker dinners or their fundraisers or stuff. Why? Because it sucks. It's dumb. Like, when you realize that your GOP meeting in a county like Rogers County is 90,000 plus. The GOP meeting might, on a good night, have 30 people. You mean to tell me 30 people has any kind of substance with 90,000 in the county? I mean, you're talking about drops in the bucket compared to the whole big people. And yet, that's those little drops, that's where all the power is. That's where all the sucklers go. That's where all the folks are that say that I want a power or precision or I want to have some kind of influence. It just doesn't make sense to me. Now, I say that as a person who's failed for office 3 times. I say that as someone who's never been in on the power because I've never presented myself as someone who wants to be in on the power. I've always presented myself as someone as, oh yeah, you give me that, I'm destroying it. Like, you give me that, I'm going to give it back to the people. You give me that power, I'm going to use the Constitution. I've never shied away from the fact that I have animosity towards the people that are in power abusing the system. I've never shied away from that. But my name's not Trump. I don't have $1 billion. I'm not, you know, known like he is. And there's plenty of other candidates who do the same thing and they get crushed because there's all sorts of wrap-up smear techniques and stuff like that that'll go after him. But here you have DeSantis that is trying to say, I'm one of the normal people and, you know, I just want to kind of hang out. It's like, well, that might be the case. And God bless you. I would much rather hang out with your, you know, I would much rather want to hang out with my wife and hang out with my family and you hang out with your wife and you hang out with your family than to go to soirees and be like, are we going to pass the legislation, Frank? We sure are. The lobbyist took me out to dinner last week. Yeah, I think that's evil. I think that's part of the reason why we got what we got. DeSantis has been an effective governor. He's been the best governor, and that's good. He's not Trump, and he's only governor because of Trump's endorsement, and he said as much. So for the people that are out there saying that I like DeSantis, it's like, okay, no, I get that. And then there's people that'll just throw stuff at DeSantis just because they don't like him and they don't want to like him. And I get that too. I think DeSantis can wait his turn. But I also think that DeSantis is, because DeSantis is not independently wealthy, he needs rich people's money. And because he needs rich people's money, he's always going to be under somebody's thumb. Because he's always going to be under somebody's thumb, there's always going to be some type of puppet, some type of string being pulled on him. And you'll never figure out what the truth is. And that I just don't like that. And now that I've been spoiled with Trump, I don't want anything else. And that's my opinion. Here's another thing that is my opinion. There is a man dressed as a woman, has for some time, and is tweeting out that this. So it's Blair White. Here's the tweet. This is a dude. Blair White tweets, "No one had an issue with drag shows until you involved your kids. No one had an issue with sex changes until you involved kids. It's not about LGBT rights, it's about children's rights." And this is where I would say just completely wrong. It's always been about God's order. It's either God's way or it's not God's way. This is controlled opposition. This is a man who believes that he is a woman, dressed as a woman, right? Blasted on the makeup and done all the surgeries and presents himself as a woman, saying it's not about LGBTQ, guys. It's about the fact that you went after the kids. Now, I would say this. If sin is not restrained, sin will just keep going. You know, I tweeted out a couple years ago, the LGBTQ movement is a gateway to pedophilia. Now, it's not because I'm a prophet, and it's not because I know the future, other than what the Bible says, amen. It's because the fact that once you start down Romans 1, you get to the reprobate mind. You get to the point, well, if I can diddle a dude and I'm a girl and I can diddle a girl, then I might as well just go ahead and swap out jerseys. And now that I swapped out jerseys, what else can I do that's now despotic and evil and sinful? Oh, there's kids. Let's go after them. They didn't stop us whenever we first started doing blasphemy and we first started, you know, lusting and doing our idolatry. They're not going to stop us when we come after the kids. And so here you have a man dressed as a woman who's presenting the idea, well, guys, it's not about LGBT. It's against the kids. This is a kids thing. No, it is about children, but it's about God's order. My kids are my kids. My kids are either they're either my two boys or they are my daughter. That's it. They don't get to switch teams. They don't get to change jerseys. They don't get to do that. And if they do, we smack them. We spank them. We discipline them the way that God instructs. I'm not their friend. I'm not nice. I'm loving. I'm firm. I'm strong. I'm not someone that's just going to let my children do whatever. I'm also not going to expose them to people who think that God doesn't exist, Jesus wasn't the Messiah, and therefore we all become from monkeys and we can do whatever we want. I'm not putting my precious children that God gave me in that situation. I'm not going to do it. And so this comes back to parents. Which a kid doesn't come but from a mom and a dad. A mom and a dad. You need both to make the one. Right? Like, this is God's order, and you can't just arbitrarily say, you know what? We're going to deny God. We're going to deny the fact that it requires a man and a woman to have a kid, and we're going to now say a man can be a woman, and because a woman can be a man, we're now going to say, don't mess with my kids? This is not a kid issue. This is like you've punted the can all the way down the road, and now you've chosen something to protect. Now you've chosen some type of moral distinction. Don't mess with the kids. Well, what do you mean by a kid? Do you mean 18? Do you mean 18 in one day or 17 and they're about to be 18? Like, what's a kid? Because there will be people who are so lustful and so idolatrous and so semantically pugnacious that they will try to figure out, well, what do you mean by kid? What do you mean by kid? And now you get into the lawyered language of legalizing lust. You get into the fact that you're like, well, where's the language? Depends on what your definition of is. Depends on what your definition of child is. What's child? Well, how about just the fact that you leave them alone? God's order, right? Deuteronomy 6, raise them up in God's commands. Raise them up with the scriptures. Stop messing with my kids. Stop changing jerseys. If you're a dude, you're a dude. If you're a woman, you're a woman. You're not the difference. Right? And it's not the fact that it's not an LGBTQ issue. I agree with him on that. It's not that at all. That's not a thing. That's not a thing. That's sin. That's fornication. So yes, this is not a fornication issue. This is a sin issue. This is a sin issue. If you're trying to diddle little kids or trying to pervert little kids, you've got a lot wrong in your head, but mostly you've got a lot wrong in your heart. And if Christians aren't bringing the gospel to this, if we're not bringing God's wisdom to this, then we've already lost. So if we take the bait and think like this guy is saying, and we frame it as, well, it's actually the kids' issue. The LGBT people, they could do what they want. This is the failure of libertarianism. Libertarians are, God bless them, they're stupid. Because what they do is they think it's only the individual. The individual has no context other than the individual. Well, I'm sorry, individual. Where did you come from? A mom and a dad. That's a society. That's a relationship. That's a dynamic. That's an order. All of that, you don't just into existence. Maybe Adam was a libertarian. But Adam, after he was made by God, God told him what to do. So it's like Adam had an order. Adam had an authority who ordered his liberty. So when libertarians are like, well, you know, let the gays be the gays and the LGBT do the... No. What order are they rejecting? What order are they hijacking? What order are they trying to build for themselves? We read at the very beginning of the broadcast, the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. The tent. You can take a tent down. You can move a tent. Wherever God is putting you, wherever God is moving you, that's where you are. Where God directs, that's where you go. You follow him. You're never going to stay where you are. And because you don't stay where you are, you're not going to become in love with the stuff that you have. If he moves you from one place to the next, you follow him and you will flourish there. What you don't want to do is build up for yourself an empire predicated on fornication and lust and lasciviousness and think that that's what you can do just because you can. It's not about the kids. It's about Jesus. These people reject Jesus, and they're trying to use every red herring in the book to keep people distracted from the gospel. And as long as Christians, hear me, Christians, as long as Christians aren't reading their scriptures, as long as they're not looking to the Bible, as long as they're not preaching the gospel, as long as they're not following Jesus, they're going to be distracted by this stuff. And there will be political conservatives who don't conserve jack, but they'll see this and be like, man, that's based. This dude who thinks he's a woman is based because he says it's about the kids. He's right. Based. It's based. You're a freaking moron. Stop being a moron. Amen. Quit. Now, I just want to end simply with the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He lived a perfect life. His shed blood washes away those sins. Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says that all your accounts were washed away. Colossians 2 verse 15 says that God triumphed by taking the cross. Think about this. The worst death in mankind was the crucifixion. Jesus willingly, lovingly endured it. But that, the Bible says, was the moment of God's triumph. God triumphed over the world's evils, powers, and principalities in that moment. Which means when the world took its best shot against Jesus, and Jesus was just letting them do it, literally not even talking back, didn't even give a defense. He looked at the guy pounding the nails into his hand. He looked at the guy pounding the nails into his other hand. He looked at the guy shove the thorns on his head. He looked at the people jamming the nails into his feet. And as he was raised up, he just let it happen. And all the while, he told Peter, don't you know that I can't call down legions of angels? Don't you know that I can't stop this right now? John chapter 10, he says, don't you know that I lay down my life? No one takes it from me. I lay it down and I'm going to raise it back up. Jesus took the cross so that we don't have to have God's wrath. But that's not the end. He was buried, which proves that he was dead. See, the reason why it's important that you know he was buried is that you know that he was dead. He had to die. The punishment of sin has to be dead. You have to be done. God's wrath had to be completely satisfied. If God's wrath wasn't completely satisfied, then Jesus wouldn't have died. Jesus had to die to show that God's wrath was completely satisfied. He's so dead, they buried him. They buried him. They rolled a rock. They posted Roman sentries. He was dead. But He rose from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is it's the power. That's the power. There's life despite the death. That through the death, that's where Jesus was able and is able to save. The gospel is God's power to save. That's what it is. If you want to go to heaven, the gospel is how God makes that happen. What does that include? His death, his burial, his resurrection. It's the story. It's that right there. It's that little bottom, what's this? Bottom left. Death, burial, resurrection. It's what I got on my hat right here. Death, burial, resurrection. The death, burial, resurrection, Jesus Christ is the gospel. Believe the gospel, my friends. Go to heaven. You get to see me and hang out forever. That might not be a selling point, but at least you can go somewhere else in heaven. Like heaven will be big enough to where if you don't want to hang out with me, you can just go somewhere else. Believe the gospel, my friends. Hey, thank you for watching. Please be a member at livelocal.store. If you like what I do, if you want to support what I do, this is my job. I don't want corporations to own the microphone. I want God to have the microphone. I want the gospel to be the message. I want to bend everything back to the Bible, and that's what I do. If you are entertained, inspired, edified, equipped, illuminated, educated in any way, a way to say thank you is at livelocal.store. We've got hats and hoodies and shirts and books and all sorts of stuff, but it would be a blessing to me if you are a monthly member at livelocal.store for any amount. That just shows that you are committing to me as I have committed to this. I appreciate your time. Lord willing, we'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. I am Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Do not quit. Go to war.